This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this, Chris Herndon. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That's Smokey and the Miracles. I Got a Dance to Keep from Crying, continuing my NCAA tournament preview dance theme this week, but add a little extra Grizzlies loss energy to it.
Yeah. Grizzlies now in fifth because both, well, not both, all three, the Rockets, Nuggets, and Lakers. Nuggets and Lakers with serious injuries all prevailed last night. The Grizzlies have dropped into technically fifth place. They're sort of tied with the Lakers, but percentage.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff's been separated by like one game for one or 2 games or 2 weeks. So we could look up in 2 days and they're in second. You know?
We could. We could look up in 2 days and they'd be second. Although I have to say, I looked down and Jeffrey told me there's a 7.5% chance that they finish sixth. So this is not inconceivable, but let's see. So what did you make of last night's effort?
Well, you know, you're on the road against a decent team, you know, 500-ish team, play-in team, Sacramento, team that's been playing okay. I mean, I know they lost some games going in, but, like, in the big picture, that's a pretty good team. And you got no John Morant, and you got no Santi Aldama, and no Scottie Pippen, so you're missing your best or second best player and two key reserves on the road against a decent team that was at full strength, at least going into the game before they lost Sabonis. So like the Grizzlies, I have no idea what the betting stuff was. The Grizzlies should have been an underdog in that game probably. But and that doesn't mean it was a good performance. You know, 17 turnovers and 20 made threes by Sacramento. That's a dynamic that's hard to overcome. And they sort of had a hot shooting night, but you sort of, you know, abetted that with the turnovers. So just that turnover into made three, turnover into made three dynamic is just, that's a hard thing to overcome.
Well, and it's not aberrational. I mean, the turnovers are typical at this point.
The turnovers aren't, right.
And they tend, you know, I don't know where they are ranking three-point shooting defense, but not 20.
They allow the highest frequency of wide open threes in the NBA.
So there you go. Yes, it was not a great performance. So what struck me, Chris, a couple things. One is, obviously, there's Jake LaRavia on the other side. 12 points, 4 of 7, 2 of 4. He gets the dunk, does the stare down. Like, he was clearly fired up for the game, and we've discussed it before. It was not an irrational decision that the Grizzlies made not to extend him, but it was, in the end, turned out to be, it feels like, the wrong decision to not extend him. But it also highlights sort of that one of the real challenges of the team this year has been, it strikes me, and I want to get your thoughts, heading into this year, you're like, oh my God, they got so many wings. They got so many options here at the wings. They got Marcus Smart. They're going to probably have to play him over Vince just because of his, you know, because that's because of pecking order stuff. And so Vince, who probably should be starting, he's going to, whatever, he's going to be coming off the bench. And then you've got Jake and you've got Gigi. And how are they going to find time for all these guys? And in the end, they're all bust. Marcus Smart's no longer on the team. Gigi's in the G League. Vince Williams is a diminished version of himself. And Jake LaRavia is on another team.
Yeah, I mean, every team has a lot of wings. And the reason, like, it was a hard option to choose from is because no one was clearly, you know, if you have Jaylen Brown, that's your small forward, no one's saying, well, what are you going to do? You got all these wings. You can't play Jaylen Brown because you got Jaylen Brown. Or, yeah, Jason Tatum or whatever. So they had a lot of, they had a lot of maybes. But no certainties. And so the lack of a certainty has you sifting through the maybes, and they're still doing that to this day. You're right that, like, the Marcus Smart just never played. I really wish he had come back, like, 2 weeks before the deadline, and we would have a better feel for that. He's been okay, it seems, in Washington. Certainly he's been better in Washington than, like, Gigi Jackson and Vince Williams and had been for the Grizzlies. So, like, maybe he would be helping them right now in a way that they didn't think he would. The LaRavia thing, it was a mistake on the front end. And I thought you could understand why they did it, because they had all these guys and they wanted to prioritize long-term Gigi Jackson and Vince Williams, which didn't seem like the wrong thing. But the number was so low on Jake LaRavia, and he'd had a good summer league. He'd had a good finish to last season. The number was low on him. They had traded to move up to get him in the draft not that long ago, and he was starting to pan out. I thought I think I characterized it as a minor mistake, like, at the time. And then that leads into trading him, and you could say, well, you didn't have to trade him, but I just think there were a lot of forces there that led to that. Clearly they could have just kept him and him been on the team and he would be playing right now. The Vince Williams thing is a real bummer because I just think he's not right physically. You can see it in the numbers. You can see it when you watch the games. Yes, there's the thing of, like, you know, the stakes were lower last season, but it's not just that. He is just not the same physically. He doesn't get the spots the way he did, both horizontally and vertically last season. And they're in this situation now where it's like every game they're just searching. Like Lamar Stevens had a great game against Miami, and he's in the rotation to start the night. And he was bad in the 3 minutes he played. Yeah. Like, he missed 2 shots, had 3 turnovers. So it was only 3 minutes, and he just pulled the plug, you know? Like, he has been a better defender than a lot of these guys, and, like, maybe if you go back to him, you get a better defensive effort in the second half of that game. But, you know, it's just a constant searching, a constant scrambling. I do think if they can have a full-strength roster at any point, and who knows if that will ever happen, and they're willing to get down to an 8-9-man rotation, you can just erase a lot of that and just say, you know, we're rolling with Luke Kennard and Scottie Pippen and Santi Aldama can play the 3 in big lineups, and, like, we're not playing any of these dudes. Like, they could get to that point, but that requires having everybody available.
Yeah, and obviously I'm not saying they analyzed the potential of it. Like, a lot of them, if you look at the wings that they were counting on or hoping, the maybes, Marcus Smart, Gigi Jackson, Vince Williams, Jake LaRavia, you know, two of them were, their seasons were seriously impacted by injury. Vince Williams is clearly still impacted by injury. And then Gigi's development, I think you can say, very clearly impacted by injury, and now he's gone to the G League. What do you make of the decision to send him to the G League?
Well, he has been a real drag on the team defense, and they've been playing him anyway and sort of dealing with that drag. If you look at the numbers over the course of the season, the whole season, and this is true as of before yesterday, I haven't looked at it today, but I looked at it yesterday, in terms of like individual player net rating, which basically means how does a team perform per 100 possessions when a player is in the game, the second worst net rating on the team was Yuki Kawamura at -0.8. The Grizzlies have been good for all the hand wringing. The Grizzlies have been good all season, so the net ratings are generally pretty good because they've won most of their games. But the second worst net rating on the team was Yuki at -0.8. And then the worst was G.G. Jackson at -6.3. It's just, and the defensive numbers have been off the charts bad with him in the game. And it's been a real drag, and they've been playing him anyway for developmental purposes and to try to get him going. But it's been like a little bit, it's been an anchor they have given themselves game after game. And I think they just decided we can't do this anymore. It's too late in the season. We got to focus on the playoffs. This is not happening right now. And so send him to the G League, let him work on his game, and we got to move forward for now without him. I haven't talked to anyone, but that's my interpretation of it.
Yeah. It's tricky because once you go to the G League, you'll get playing time and you can develop and whatever else. You're also not in the role that you will be, you know, in the NBA someday. Of course, that's true of anyone in the G League who's developing in the G League. They're not stepping into the NBA as stars. They're stepping into the NBA as role players. And once they get in the G League, they're going to be presumably the focus of it. But, it seems to me to be the wise decision. So the other point I made, or question I made, Chris, and maybe this isn't the moment for it. Maybe I'm overreacting to everything, feeling gloomy today. But if you look back 3 years ago, when they already had Ja, Jaren, Dez, Santi, and Brandon Clark. The last three off seasons have been kind of a bust. Because they've added essentially nobody. The 3 seasons ago, it was the Roddy. It was that Roddy Laravia draft when they let Kyle Anderson and Melton go. And at the time, you wondered if they were, you know, going too young. And then Zach basically acknowledged at the end of that year that he did. Right. That off season was kind of a misjudgment. Then they do the Marcus Smart, D. Rose offseason, Dylan letting Dylan walk, which they had to, even apart from his impact on the franchise. He became too expensive. He got a deal that they couldn't have done anyway. No,
they could have done that.
They could have done that deal. They could have afforded that deal.
It was a choice. It's like when people say, well, Jared's got five outs. He has to come out. No, it's a choice.
Right.
Like, you chose not to give Dylan, it may be the right choice,
right,
but you chose not to give Dylan Brooks that contract. You could have. No, it wasn't illegal.
Right,
you know?
Right. Anyway, but Marcus Smart, so that summer's a bust because the big thing they did was bring in Marcus Smart, who was a bust. And then this past offseason, they really, yes, they drafted two rookies and they seemed to hit on the rookies, so that's good.
Right.
But they did basically nothing else, and then they, at the trade deadline, they moved off of Marcus Smart. So in 3 years, three off seasons, you've got your five best players all in place, and you've added two rookies, or like they added Luke somewhere in there. But I think it has not been the last three off seasons is why they are where they are.
I agree. Well, if you step back, big picture, I think that's right. If you get into the weeds, there's all kinds of complications there, which we can talk about. But broad picture, I think that's right. I think I wrote a couple years ago about sort of, you know, and I think they're going to re-sign Jaren and they're going to extend the window. But at one point, you had a 3-year window with Jaren on this current contract before either you lose him or he gets more expensive, and then that complicates your ability to build around them. And let's sort of seize the moment on this window. And I think the Marcus Smart trade was an attempt to do that that did not work out. What they did at the deadline, I wasn't surprised by, because I basically predicted it on your show on deadline day. Yep. But it wasn't what I wanted them to do. I was saying, like, go try to pry, you know, Andrew Wiggins out. I wanted them to add at the deadline. I think back during the summer, they could have added a little bit more veteran stuff to the team. I think they were scared of the tax line, clearly, and they were angling to get under that. So I think there are things they could have done over the last 3 years, obviously, to give the team more a stronger spine and more sort of veteran role players around Ja, Jaren, Dez. And you're sort of playing a dangerous game, like kicking the can down the road on some of that, because I know those guys are young, but what's the guarantee that they're all, Ja's out with a hamstring soreness right now, so who knows? But, I mean, what are the odds you get all three? You're not going to get all three healthy together in the playoffs every year, probably, just because of variants of injury and everything else. And so, you have to take advantage of those opportunities when they come. I will say, if you go back and look at that team 3 years ago, which is still probably the best team they've had in this run, the team that got to the second round against the Warriors, it's kind of like when people used to get nostalgic about the Hubie, and this did happen. People probably forget about this by this point, but people used to get nostalgic about the Hubie Brown teams and why did you break it up? Why didn't you keep it together? Like that same team they had, if that team were still together, I don't know if it would be better than this team or not. Like the Anthony Melton's not playing; he's hurt. Right? Kyle Anderson is taking a step back. Steven Adams, you know, is a backup center now who doesn't play all the time. And Tyus Jones is not having a great season in Phoenix. And, like, you know, life moves on and players, like, don't stay the same. So it's not so much that, like, you broke that up.
No.
That you didn't replace it with a similar kind of dynamic.
I think that's right. It's not. I was not advocating for keeping them all. I'm just saying they have not effectively put pieces around their core pieces. They just haven't. It's just, like, whatever. And maybe, you know, because you have two young players in Edie and Wells, and because Vince may be a better version of himself next year and whatever else, I'm not saying it's doomed forever, but that's the reality we have. Jeffrey is saying we got to go. So I got to go. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Jeffrey wants to apologize to me, though. Jeffrey, do you want to apologize to me?
I do, Jeff. Another reason we should all be upset at North Carolina is North Carolina is playing in tonight's play-in game and playing on Friday.
I said that at the start of the show. I know, and corrected me.
Historically, it's always been the team that would play on Tuesday night on Thursday.
It's very rare that I'm right and Jeffrey's wrong.
Apologies.
So, there you go. If you want something framed, the Frame Corner has been doing it for 50 years. 50 years of custom framing at the Frame Corner. We have something there right now. But whether it's sports memorabilia, wedding photos, beautiful piece of art, whatever it is, just walk on in there and let the experts at the Frame Corner handle it for you. 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Special five-year anniversary edition of the Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Coming up next, it is Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C. He's the author of three New York Times bestsellers. We were trying to count the number of books, Jeffrey, that he's actually written last week when we were pointing out that John Feinstein has written more than 40, and I think Charles was less than that.
Yes.
But three New York Times bestsellers, also a three-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing, and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand. And I want to start, Charles, by acknowledging...
Hang on. First of all, I think it's important. You skipped over this, but I'm still in Washington. I have not been put on a plane to a prison in El Salvador, and I am not making fun of that. I'm here. I have
why,
not.
Why,
been
why is that even an issue? Why are we talking about?
We deported three plane loads of people whose names we don't have, who did not get any court hearings to even verify who they were, right to prison.
Charles,
I
want to point this out. Here we are. I was introducing you,
trying to have a
and you literally interrupted me before I could even introduce you and ask the first question.
My man in Washington.
And,
I
knew you. That's why I called you my man in Washington. You interrupted me and then came with politics right off the bat. And as you know, I like to steer away from politics here.
Let's just stick to sports.
Because it can be very polarizing. But I wanted to end up start with something happy. And the happy news is...
Let me give you the happy news.
Stop it. Hang up on him. I swear to God, I'm going to cut you off, Charles. You literally won't let me get the first question out, which is the perfect way to celebrate our five-year anniversary. 5 years to the day. That's all I was trying to say. It is literally 5 years to the day that I brought you on this radio show, and you have not stopped interrupting me ever since. Now you think it's your segment and you can just walk in here, and before I even ask a single bleeping question, you can just start firing away. Happy anniversary, Charles. It's a wooden anniversary. And so what would you like me to get you that's made of wood?
It's fifth anniversary is wood?
I think so. I was just Googling.
Can
that.
Confirm.
Wait, when was your fifth?
Well, it'll be June 27th.
What does one get that's wood?
I don't know.
Bowls?
There's two things I love that are wood. One is that you would get as a gift. One is a beautiful cutting board. We just got my son, in fact, who's a great cook, a beautiful cutting board. And the other is, frankly, sort of similar, a beautiful wooden salad bowl. I use those things every day.
I guess my question, though, is with those both of those things, because I agree, a beautiful wooden cutting board is wonderful and a beautiful – how many do you need? You know, how many do you need? That's the problem.
You probably need two cutting boards. You could have a beautiful cutting board that's really like for present, you know, a presentation.
For charcuterie, cheese, charcuterie.
Vegetables, charcuterie, yeah. I never use the word charcuterie.
I do all the time. Whenever I can. I use it whenever I can,
And, you know, you probably need three salad bowls of different sizes because you might serve a big... I want to go back, though. John Feinstein not only wrote 48 books, 23 of them were New York Times bestsellers.
That's ridiculous.
So the real question is, and he was a little older than me, but not much, what have I been doing with my time?
No,
you know what
I
he
actually,
never did?
What did he never do? He would stop to do radio.
Segment with you.
He did a lot of radio, though. Here's the thing. I tell people all the time that people ask me, do you want to write a book? And I'm like, no, I don't want to write a book. I don't have the disposition to write a book. We were talking about this yesterday when you were doing reporting on a moon story that you're working on for National Geographic. But the discipline of writing a book, I couldn't begin to master it. It is a totally, I mean, you wrote for the Washington Post, and now you've written books. Totally different enterprise, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, when you're writing a book, you're writing, each chapter is two or three long magazine stories, and you're writing 10 chapters, you're writing 30 magazine stories, and you never know when you're talking to somebody whether what they're telling you is going to go in chapter 2 or chapter 7 or a little bit in both. And so I find it thrilling and exciting, but it is an organizational, it requires report, you know, love of the reporting and the writing, but you also have to keep a lot in mind. What were you and I talking about yesterday where we you only look at one browser tab at a time. We're gonna cause people to faint now. I have 300 browser tabs open at once. There's 20 tabs open just for the segment this morning. So I close all those when I'm done. So you got to be able to juggle. Anyway, I think there you go. John Feinstein, also a Washington Post reporter for a while. Definitely, he literally wrote 10 books for every book I wrote.
Yes, Charles, but
it's not about the quantity.
Well,
Charles.
We're a batting average team here, and
we're a batting average team, right?
It sounds to me like 3 out of 4 bestsellers beats 20. Jeff, what did you say? 23 out of 40.
23 out of 40. He didn't. Yeah, basically.
He's barely 500.
He's barely 500.
And I'm making the bestseller list 75-80% of the time. Exactly.
All right. So you always come with a happy anniversary, Charles. I want to say that. This is 5 years ago because it was during COVID that we started doing this. And you've become.
This very day. It was a Wednesday in 2020, March 18th. So the show began on a Wednesday. And it's been a ride. So I've talked to you 250 times on the radio.
Oh God. Seems like so many more than that. It's really more than that because for the first two months, we did it a couple a week anyway, certainly.
Yeah.
So
about what we talk in a week offline.
And then we've decided there's only so much people can take. Frontier Airlines, you want to start with that? What's the news about Frontier Airlines?
Just a tidbit. Frontier flies out of Memphis. Frontier is literally, I think I can say this without fear of contradiction, the worst airline. They charge you for a carry-on bag. if you want to bring a bag to put in the overhead bin, they charge you for that. They charge you for your seat. Like, what am I buying the ticket for if it's not for the seat? They announced this morning they're taking a competitive shot at Southwest for the summer. Until August 18th, they're going to give you one free checked bag and one free seat if you book with them over Southwest. They want to become your low price carrier. There you go. I have flown Frontier from Washington to Denver, and I literally would rather bike from Washington to Denver than fly Frontier again, but they are taking a competitive shot. It's cheap. It is cheap. Round trip Denver to Memphis this morning, $100. Round trip, as long as you don't need to sit down.
All right, we count on you for your sports insight and news, and you have some
it's
news.
Just like with Feinstein, I don't talk about sports much.
Right, but it's a high betting
I'm
average.
Always right.
So Warren Buffett famously does something for selections for the NCAA tournament every year, and he's getting old, and so he's tweaked the rules because no one has. What does Warren Buffett do with the tournament, and what has he changed?
So Warren Buffett owns this company, is the CEO of this company he created called Berkshire Hathaway. And if you participate in the contest, you can win $1 million with your Final Four bracket from Warren, during March Madness. Let's just pause a minute. What is Berkshire Hathaway? Berkshire Hathaway is an old-fashioned conglomerate, a company that owns other companies. They own Geico Insurance. They own Fruit of the Loom Underwear, Benjamin Moore Paint, Dairy Queen, Duracell Batteries.
They own them outright, or they own stock in them?
Yes. No. Those are companies they own outright. Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad. So they have 400,000 employees across all those companies that they own. So Duracell does its thing, but it's owned by Warren Buffett and Berkshire. You can't buy stock in Duracell, but you can buy stock in Berkshire Hathaway. Last year, 65,000 people of the 400,000 participated in the bracket contest. That's 15% of the company. That's kind of amazing. Here's how it worked until this year. You had to pick every one of the first 32 round or the first round games. You had to pick the winners correctly.
Well, that's impossible.
He's run the contest for 10 years. If you do it, you win $1 million. He's never given away the $1 million.
Of course, because that's impossible. I could also give anyone, say that I'm going to give $1 million to anyone who gets all them all right, because no one ever gets them all right.
Secure
exactly.
That they would not come take all the furnishings of your house. When they
right, exactly. All my salad bowls and cutting boards.
All your salad bowls.
Yeah.
So he's tweaked the rules this year. He literally told the Wall Street Journal he owns Geico Insurance. He started in the insurance world. He understands, you know, odds and risk and all that. That's really, and that's what investing is. He wants to give away $1 million once every 4 years. That's what he thinks the contest should pay off at about. He's worth billions. He can afford the million himself. So he tweaked the rules. This year, you only have to pick 30 of the first 32 right to win the $1 million. Last year, five people who entered, five of the 65,000, did pick 30 of 32. So he thinks somebody will win this year. There's some tiebreakers. They're not going to give away five $1 million prizes. They're going to give away one. The runners-up will each win $100,000. The Wall Street Journal tracked down the guy who won $100,000 last year, who would have won $1 million with this year's rules, Dwayne Johnson in West Virginia. He no longer works for Berkshire. And he laughed and said, well, he called me when I won the 100, and I talked to Warren. He was so great. And all I have to say to Warren is, could you make it retroactive?
Yeah.
Can I have the million? Anyway.
So people Warren do Buffett, get 30 out of 32, but they don't get 32. I've never heard of
anyone. Five last year did. Warren Buffett is going to let Dwayne enter this year, even though he's not an employee. There's a second tier prize for you. You love this. Forget the first 32. If you pick the first 48 games correctly, just the winners, In the first two rounds, you get $1 million for life. The NCAA has kept track of 150 million brackets in the last 10 years. 150 million. One person
wow.
picked the first 48 right. So there you go.
Okay. Anyway all right. I'll now let you delve into, it's not really politics, but it certainly is a national story. Closing of radio voice, the Voice of America.
I mean, this is in all seriousness, there's nothing funny about Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, Radio Free Asia.
What is it and how did it start? What is Voice of America?
Voice of America is a news service that employs, at this point, 800 journalists. So the Associated Press employs 3,000, the New York Times, 1,500, the Washington Post, 1,000, 800 journalists worldwide, and they broadcast news to the parts of the world where the news is pure propaganda, state-controlled. They broadcast to Cuba. They broadcast to Russia. They broadcast to China. They broadcast across Asia. So the people in Russia got no information about the Chernobyl meltdown from state media in Russia. They got all their information about the Chernobyl meltdown from Voice of America, broadcast news to Cuba, broadcast news to Iran, and Radio Free Europe and Radio and Voice of America, very good at getting around the blocking technology and continuing to broadcast and provide news. Absolutely indispensable news source. And they're run and funded by the federal government of the United States. It goes all the way back to the Cold War. If you want to persuade ordinary communist people to have an open mind about democracy, then be a shining example of what a free press and the free flow of information is like. It's completely unclear why Donald Trump, the president of the greatest democracy in history, would unplug these agencies. The total budget for all of this, for 800 journalists, is $900 million a year. That is what the Pentagon of the United States spends in 9 hours. The Pentagon spends $100 million an hour. And this is what's called soft power. This is how you avoid going to war, by giving people real information. Pulled the plug on Sunday. Again, Voice of America provides news to 360 million people a week. That's more than the total number of people in the U.S. in 50 languages. They famously have a Chinese service and a Farsi service. All those people have been put on leave. Voice of America is an independent agency. In fact, Congress 3 years ago passed a law insulating it from interference by the president. So he can't really shut it down, but he put everybody on leave. It's unclear whether Congress will step up and rescue it. 80 years of providing news to people who wouldn't otherwise get it. So, as a journalist, as a Democrat, small d, as a capitalist, as somebody who has great sympathy with people who live under authoritarian regimes, this seems like a really stupid thing to do with no – the only people who – both Russia and China issued statements praising the death of Voice of America.
Those are our teammates now, man. We've switched teams. We were traded midseason. Those are our teammates now. Fluoride news.
Yeah, this is really interesting. There's a wave of anti-fluoridated water, so sort of a wave breaking across America. Fluoride has been added to the water for 50, 60 years. 63% of Americans have water that has a tiny little bit of fluoride.
Do you think you do and I do both? We think we both have fluoride?
I absolutely do. I did not check Memphis, but I assume Memphis has fluoride. And what fluoride does is prevent tooth decay.
Right.
And we started adding fluoride.
Jeffrey says yes. Jeffrey Googled it. He said we get fluoride in our water. So go ahead. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Fluoride started being added to water long before there was fluoride in toothpaste or fluoride in mouthwash. And fluoride did all kinds of things. Fluoride's in our vegetables, fluoride's in dirt, so it migrates into the food supply in very small amounts. And the amount that's added to water is tiny, but it has a dramatic impact on helping teeth stay strong. And the fluoride that's in your water gets into your bloodstream in literally molecular amounts and bonds to your teeth. The fluoride that's in mouthwash and toothpaste is just on the surface of your teeth. So they actually act in different ways, but there's a huge wave of anti-fluoride sentiment. Utah's legislature passed a statewide ban on adding fluoride to water, and it could be signed by the governor. He said he was going to sign it, but he hasn't signed it yet. So there's no evidence that fluoride hurts adults at all. There's dramatic evidence that it improves dental health. It prevents cavities. Cavities are a pain in the neck for everybody, especially in young children. There is evidence that high levels of fluoride can hurt the mental development, the brain development of unborn children and young children. But the levels that have been tested or discovered to cause harm are 2 or 3 or 4 times what's in water. So people say, well, if it's toxic, it's toxic. But that, of course, is not true. If you take, 2 Tylenol, that's good for you. Right, if you take 200, then it's poison, right? And so it's an interesting fight. Just yesterday, the city of Bartow, Florida, had a huge debate, weeks long. City council voted to keep fluoride 3-2. On the flip side, France and Germany do not fluoridate their water. So it's interesting. The science is clear, and what you're doing is dooming, whatever.
I look at it this way. You're not going to worry about cavities when you got measles, You just got to figure it that way. We're not doing anything. I think Dr. Mehdi Sadeghi is probably grateful that we have, or maybe not, I guess, given his economic interest.
What's interesting is dentists would get a lot more business
that's the thing.
Without fluoride, and they all favor fluoride. They all want
to
take
really?
Care of your
they all, that's, that shows the integrity of
the
dentists,
American Academy
doesn't
of Pediatrics,
it?
The dentists, the pediatric dentists, all health providers. No one's saying, squirt fluoride in your mouth. You got to be careful how you use it. But we have 50, 60 years of doing that. The city, a couple of Canadian cities, Calgary, stopped using it for 10 years and saw a dramatic increase in the amount of calories in kids, and they just went back to putting it in.
All right, we got to what's the 401k news? You were going to talk about this, and we're not talking about the direction
that
it's going.
Are we running out of time, or we still have time?
We have a couple minutes, right, Jeffrey? Yeah, we got a little time. We got a little time.
I just want to get to Hungary. Don't cut me off.
I won't get to Hungary. We would never leave out Hungary. We would never leave out Hungary.
This is the year. The 2024 was the year that for the first time, half of American workers were saving in a 401k.
Wow.
401k, one of my pet topics.
Probably you.
Who's eligible to save money for retirement. People might think, Charles, the stock market is tanking. Why would we start saving for retirement now?
But this is the best time to buy, man. This is the best time to buy.
They say buy the dip, Jeff.
Buy the dip. They do. No, they say buy buy and stay invested. Buy and hold.
Well, buy and hold, but buy the dip is also right.
Yeah.
If you're going to starting now is great. If you're eligible, let's just pause. A 401k is a way of saving for retirement. The money comes off your paycheck, and you don't pay taxes on it. What that means is that if you save 1 or 2 or 3% of your paycheck, you literally almost don't notice. Your paycheck itself doesn't go down because you're saving enough on taxes to fund the contribution. Many companies, more than half of companies, match what you contribute. If you contribute 6%,
it's free money, baby.
They might contribute 2% or 3%. So you're giving yourself a little raise by saving. And here's how you think about it. If you're 34, the 65-year-old version of you will be so happy that you saved for retirement. You're doing a favor to your future self. So last year, the 401ks have existed as retirement savings for 44 years. Last year is the first year that half of American workers participated, not eligible, participated. One reason, new rules require that new plans automatically enroll you. When you become an employee, like your federal income tax is taken out, you're automatically enrolled in the company's plan, and you can opt out. They say, we're going to do this for you, but you can say no if you want to. 94% of employees at companies with auto-enroll stay enrolled. In companies where you have to actively go out and check the box and go through the process, only 67% enroll. So the automatic enrollment, really valuable. If you're a part-time worker, next year you become eligible to participate.
It's kind of amazing, though, because that means that all these people are, you know, you sometimes wonder if the stock market is the province of the rich, right? That when we talk about whether it's going up or going down or whatever else, that we're just, and whereas the truth of the matter is, a huge portion of America is invested in the stock market.
If half of America
half of workers, yeah, yeah,
are saving for retirement in a 401k, literally every 401k is invested in the stock market. That's what you do. That's how you get good long-term growth. So half of Americans are affected Amazing. By what happens.
All right, Hungary. On to Hungary before we wrap up this special five-year anniversary wooden edition of A Fish on Friday on Tuesday.
Hungary is run by a guy who started as a democratically elected prime minister, Orbán. He's drifted in the direction of complete authoritarianism, but Hungary has a serious birth rate problem.
Oh.
And well below replacement rate. Replacement, you know, just keeping your population stable, you need every woman of childbirth age on average to have 2.1 children, because some children also die. Two replaces the mother and the father, right? Hungary's at 1.6. Viktor Orban put in place last week permanent income tax waiver. For mothers who have one child, they're exempt from all income tax until they're 30. For mothers who have two or more children, they're exempt from income tax for life. So you have your children, you either go back to work, get them into school, and then go to work, no income tax forever.
Wow.
So to be honest, my relatives come from Hungary.
So your
family comes from Hungary. I would not go back to Hungary now with Viktor Orban running an authoritarian state, but I gotta say,
it's a good economic deal. Yeah.
This is a masterstroke of genius. If you want women to be encouraged to have children, you need policies that are family friendly, and making one income in a family, if you have two parents, making one income completely tax free, Hey, man.
All right. That, we got to get out of here. Happy anniversary. We really do appreciate you popping on every Tuesday, Charles. We appreciate it. Memphis appreciates it. And here's for the next 5 years. All right, Jeffrey, we got to get out of here. What's coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming next on Jason and John. Jessica Benson will join them at 11:25. Jason Fitz of Yahoo Radio scheduled to join them at 1:25. Tim Murray's going to be with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, buddy. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow. For now, work's done.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.